Ivor Gurney, composer and poet of the Severn and Somme, 1890 to 1937. And that gravestone wasn't put here in 1937, was it, Ivor? Still, it's nice to be here, in Twigworth. It's a very pleasant resting place. And they'll be having Sunday service here in the church soon, no doubt. Your godfather's old stomping ground. He's around here too, isn't he? The old canon. I think I'll go and look him up. Don't go away, Ivor. I'll be back soon enough. If I can find the bugger.
Think Well, O Singer, by Carl O'Neill, with Brenda Blethyn and Kieran Hines.
Where the heck are you, Canon? Come out, wherever you are.
Are you lost?
No, it's fine, it's okay.
Now, are you sure? I don't mean
no,
to...
Actually, Cheeseman... Canon Cheeseman. I think his grave's around here somewhere.
I know, yes. It's just over here. See?
Ah, right.
The stone's a bit worn down, hard to see. Easily missed.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Thanks.
You're not a relative, are you?
No, I'm just doing a bit of research, sort of.
On the canon?
No, not directly. On his godson, Ivor Gurney. You know, the poet and composer?
Oh, right. I take it you've seen his.
Yes, I have. His stone looks very modern.
Yes, it's new. Relatively, anyway, about 10 years, I think. The old one was broken. It's in the church here.
What, it's broken? How?
Vandalised, I'm afraid.
It was vandalised? Mm. Well, a First World War poet? And all, why would anybody want to do something?
Oh, young thugs, I suppose. It was on a New Year's Eve, I remember. Oh. Drunken revellers.
Brats. Was it badly damaged?
Yes, but it's been put back together. The stone was very worn in any case. The lettering had only been retouched a few years earlier for the centenary.
You know, he was buried here on New Year's Eve.
Was he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. In 1937, he died on Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, and he was buried on the 31st. Mm.
They had some trouble a few years ago in Treadworth Cemetery. Oh. I remember the war graves were damaged there too, about the time of the foot and mouth outbreaks. My father had some choice words to say about the people who did the damage. It's those bloody hooligans who desecrated the soldiers' graves what ought to be thrown on the tip and burnt, not the animals. Poor simple creatures. It's a violation of the dead. So are you doing a thesis, then, on Gurney?
Yeah, something like that.
You're Irish, aren't you?
Yes. What, is it that funny?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, it's just, well, I did my degree thesis on Seamus Heaney.
Ah, famous Seamus.
Is that what they call him in Ireland?
Yeah, well, after the Nobel thing.
Have you ever met him?
I haven't, no.
I have.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. At Heathrow Airport. I mean, he'd been to the college the year before, you know, for a lecture, and I'd just been blown away by him. I fell in love with his accent. And I hadn't had the nerve to go near him then, but when I saw him at Heathrow in the bookshop, I just had to say hello and... it was so embarrassing. But I was dying to meet him and get his autograph. I didn't have a scrap of paper on me, so I sidled up to him like a schoolgirl, shaking with nerves, and asked if he would sign a £1 note.
God, that must have been a while ago.
Yes, it was, actually. I wondered afterwards if my subconscious was getting me to do it in order to create a memorable moment. And then...
Then he'd write a poem about it.
Yes.
He hasn't yet, has he?
No, but you never know.
No, you don't.
Anyway, he was so lovely. Asked me what I was studying, where I was from, and so on. And I just blabbered away about myself.
No.
Oh, Lord, I am sorry.
Don't mind yourself. No, John, it's fine. Don't worry. Did he sign it?
What? Oh, the pound note. Yeah. Yes, he did.
That's probably illegal, you know. Like a crime against the realm. You could end up in the Tower with Seamus.
Oh, dear. You won't tell anyone.
What's said in the graveyard stays in the graveyard.
Oh, is that an old Irish saying?
No, just made it up. Anyway, your secret's safe with me.
Ah, I appreciate that.
So, were you at the service there just now, in the church?
Oh, no, I was just opening the doors for the organist. It's his first time here, a student, for the service later.
All right, and are you the vicar, or the rector, whatever they call it?
No, I'm just, my father is a warden here, but he's not feeling well, so I said I'd look after it.
Is he bad?
Oh, a bit of food poisoning, nothing serious. You're more than welcome to join us, you know, for the service. So it's not until 10:30.
Thanks.
We can always use another pair of lungs. Do you sing? But of course you do. You're Irish. All Irish people sing.
No, not around Armagh, they don't.
Armagh? Is that where you're from?
Yeah, originally, anyway.
And why don't they sing in Armagh?
No, they do. Just not in church, you know. At least not in the Catholic churches. That's usually left to the choir.
I see. Well, our congregation, such as it is, I mean, if we hit double figures today, it'll be a minor miracle. But we all have to give it a go, otherwise there'll be a deathly silence.
Right.
Or worse, Mr. Gibson will go off on a solo run and then we're all in deep trouble.
Is that bad?
I'm afraid so. Oh, excuse me.
No, of course.
Hello? Yeah? Oh, yes, Clive. Oh, I see. Well, I suppose we knew that, really, didn't we? Yes, he's just gone in. Yeah, a bit nervous, I think, but I'm sure he'll be fine. Oh, and I think I may have recruited another stalwart for the service. Mm-hmm. A gentleman from Ireland. He said he'd love to. Okay, I'll see you then. Bye.
Do I have a choice?
Well, of course you do. That was Clive. He's our lay minister for today.
A lay minister? But can you not afford a real one?
No, he's away at another service.
Oh, he's in demand elsewhere.
Oh, too few ministers to go around, I'm afraid. We have to share our minister with three other churches. And he can only manage three services on a Sunday morning, so there's a sort of rota system. We were supposed to have had him this morning at 10:30, and he's had to go to cover another minister who's ill. A bigger congregation.
Right, I see.
So we're actually relying on you, desperately.
What, you want me to take the service?
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
I don't think so.
A lovely Irish voice in the pulpit.
No, that's that heaney fetish of yours coming back up again.
Oh, I wish. We tried to get him recently, you know. He was doing the Hay on Wye festival. That's not too far away. But his diary was chock-a-block. Maybe another time.
Yeah. In the church. Bit of heaney. Bit of gurney.
Someone singing Gurney's songs. He's the 8th settings. Oh, wouldn't that be marvellous? I must suggest that.
Keep me a pew.
Certainly. Oh, provided you join us today.
Deal.
Excellent. Oh, well, we never did introduce ourselves, did we?
No.
Oh, forgive me. I'm Lizzie. Lizzie Taylor.
All right, I'm Richard. Richard Burton.
You're not. And yes, I did used to get teased about all that when I was younger.
Hence Lizzie, as opposed to Liz.
Yes, and the Taylor of Gloucester too, of course. And you are, really?
Kieran.
Is that with a K or a C?
C.
Okay.
No, C.
What? Dope. And, what do you do in the big bad world, Kieran? Besides writing theses on English war poets?
This and that. Chiefly, I do a bit of carpentry.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Do you work for a company or have your own business? Or how does that work?
No, I have my own place. And I get some commissions, you know. They're small, but...
It must be great to be your own boss.
It kind of suits me.
Is it profitable, mind me asking?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's up and down. Like most things.
Wonderful, though, to be creative like that. Ugh. Wish I was. I'm useless. I'm even lousy at knitting. Although, I do make a damn good upside-down cake. Renowned for it.
You see, there you are. Everyone has a talent.
My father remembers him, you know.
Who?
Canon Cheeseman. He was old then. Dad was a boy in the choir during the war.
You know that he both baptised and buried, Journey?
Not at the same time, I hope.
No, no. And what about you? What do you do?
Me? Oh, librarian.
Here in Twigworth?
Oh, no, in Gloucester.
Do you enjoy it?
Gloucester?
No, I meant the library, the work and all that.
Oh, yes. Well, always loved books, you see. Plus, I'm a Virgo, so I'm very ordered.
Ah, the Dewey classification and all that.
I just love being surrounded by books. Well, you know, you're a reader too.
Well...
Aren't you?
Not especially. Mm. Until recently, anyway. But when I moved to Slane, I started to get interested a bit more.
Slane? Where's that?
Oh, it's a village about 30 miles north of Dublin. It's a pretty wee place. Have you ever heard of the First World War poet Francis Ledwidge?
Yes. Heaney wrote a poem about him.
That's right, yeah. Well, he was from this place, Slane.
Ah, I see, Slane. And you moved there from Armagh?
Well, that's where I am now, anyway. See, I'd never heard of Ledwidge at all myself, but being in Slane, I was soon told.
Local hero?
Yeah, kind of. There's a little society there, and I went along once. And then someone lent me a book on First World War poets, and that's when I got interested.
Ah, see. Armagh's in Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Or should I say Ulster? I'm never sure. Always afraid of stepping on somebody's toes and saying the wrong thing.
No, it's okay.
We're fairly removed from it here, you see. I mean, never understood it anyway.
What?
Well, the whole Irish thing. Oh, no, don't laugh. I mean, you know what I mean. We English.
No, please.
I feel so guilty.
Look, why, for God's sake?
Well, the way my country is treated.
Look. Can we take my 800 years of oppression and your 800 years of guilt and dig a big hole in the ground and bury them? And if anyone feels like desecrating that gravestone, they're more than welcome to do it, as far as I'm concerned. They're more than welcome.
You see? I knew it was a touchy subject.
He sounds like he's getting the hang of it.
Tobias, yes. He's supposed to be quite brilliant, I'm told. Bit of a prodigy. He's only 17.
Really? God, that's very impressive.
Do you play?
The organ?
Anything.
No. I had a couple of lessons on the accordion once, the piano accordion, but I could never stand that instrument.
And why did you start?
I fancied the girl who was teaching me.
Mm.
And you?
Pardon?
You play anything?
Yes, I used to play the piano.
Any good?
Yeah, it wasn't bad, actually. I was a good sight reader, but lazy. Now, unless I go home to Dad's, I don't have access to a piano.
Well, you should get yourself one.
I keep intending to. You know, there's a novel I read years ago about a pregnant woman playing the piano, and the child inside her accompanies on a violin. Have you ever heard of it?
I can't say I have.
I've been racking my brains trying to remember the title or who wrote it. It was such a sweet idea, don't you think? Mother and child duetting. Beautiful image.
It is beautiful.
Do you know Gurney's piano music? The Nocturnes?
No.
Oh, you should. They're gorgeous. Some lovely preludes too. Only recently published. But there is a recording. You might get it in Gloucester.
Oh, I might do that.
Or I can make a copy for you. Are you staying for long?
No, I'm heading home tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Where are you staying here?
At a guest house near Cheltenham.
On your own?
No. Huh? A mate of mine has some business there, some horse stuff, so I'm just tagging along.
Oh, he's not a Gurney fan, then? Assuming it's a he, that is?
Yes, it is a he, yes. And no, he'd never heard of Gurney. He thought I was having them on, thought that I just made the name up, and he probably still doesn't believe me.
Oh, doesn't your wife mind?
My wife?
Mind you being away?
Well, she probably would if I told her.
Oh, you didn't tell her?
No.
I see.
But it's a bit delicate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it's really none of my business.
It's okay.
What's so funny?
No, some Miss Marple you'd make.
What?
Do you see her ring on my finger? I'm not married, you idiot.
Oh. But yes, no. it's a boy's holiday, then.
As I said, it's a bit of business his end, a bit of research mine. sober enough. Mike doesn't drink.
Oh, good Lord. An Irishman who doesn't drink.
Tell me about it. Mike's a fun guy, though.
Yes?
Actually, no. He is one of the most boring people you could ever possibly meet. Unless you're into horses, that is. And if you follow the GGs, you're into the ins and outs of the racing game. I'm sure Mike is more than fascinating.
But not your thing.
How's my head in?
Well, yes, I mean, it doesn't compare with the excitement of finding the gravestone of a clergyman friend of a minor English poet. What does he see in it?
Yeah, it beats me. I take it you're not married yourself?
Virgo, therefore, I still am.
Sorry?
Oh, nothing. In answer to your question, no. No, I'm not married.
You ever come close?
Yes, I was engaged for 3 years.
Oh, that's a long time to be engaged.
He was away a lot, abroad.
That can be tricky, okay.
Yes, it can.
And it just didn't work out in the end?
Oh, it might have worked out. Might have been special, but that's just the way it goes, I suppose. You trust things will go along a certain path and that you'll arrive at the destination you planned and everything will be rosy. Mm. You don't look for surprises. Surprises aren't part of the plan.
And you were surprised?
Oh, yes, very. I found out that work wasn't his only reason for travelling abroad
oh,
so often.
Right.
And you know, he'd never have told me, not straight out anyway. I had to find out by accident. What is it about you men? Mm?
What?
So secretive. Why can't you just come out and say it? Admit it, face it, get the pain over early. Honestly, I don't know.
Well, I don't know the circumstances, obviously, but maybe he kept putting it off because he didn't want to cause you that pain. I don't know the guy, what he was like or anything.
Oh, actually, he was a lovely man. Still is.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe that was it. These circumstances happen, situations perhaps not entirely in our control, and maybe men just don't handle certain things very well, you know, with the best of intentions. I suppose we don't know what we'll do until we're faced with it.
Men are afraid of pain.
I don't know. Maybe. Depends.
Gurney was an organist too, I think, down in the Mariners' Church, if memory serves. Have you been there?
No.
I think I'm right. They had some recital there last year, and I'm sure his name was mentioned.
Okay.
And gosh, what about the archive in the library? You must have been on to Peter Hodges, have you?
No, you see,
oh,
I don't...
Oh, you should. They have all his notebooks there, from the trenches and so on.
It's just that, well, I'm not actually doing a thesis or anything formal as such.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it all sounds really fascinating and all. And given more time, I would take a look, but as I said, I'm just keeping a pal company for the weekend.
Oh, so no thesis, then?
No.
I see. Are you, or have you ever been, a member of the Ivor Gurney Society?
Do I have to answer that?
You can plead the fifth.
Okay, no, I think it's safe to say I am not, and never have been, a member of the Ivor Gurney Society.
Swear?
I swear.
You know they have a journal. Do you know what it's called?
What?
The Ivor Gurney Society Journal. Colloquially, they call it the Gurnal.
Gurnal. Why not?
American academics and old fuddy-duddies, I'm sure.
They've probably got a secret handshake for members.
Probably. Yeah. No, it's very sweet, really.
Yeah. He's a local hero.
The songs I had are withered or vanished clean. Yet there are bright tracks where I have been. And there grow flowers for others' delight.
Think well, O singer, soon comes night.
That's the only bit of Gurney I know. It's written out on the ground in Gloucester Park as a memorial. It's in the form of a spiral. I like to go there sometimes with a book. When there are no teenagers skateboarding around the place. And the benches there are clean. But I've stood there, reading the poem. Always makes me sad when I think of him. I mean, to die in battle is one thing, but to spend years afterwards in an asylum.
War is an asylum.
Oh, yes, I know. All those young boys. My grandfather was in the RAF, my mum's father. And he was shot down over France. She was very young, didn't really know what had happened, just that her daddy went away and never came back. Sad. Dear, this is a bit morbid, isn't it?
Yeah, but, well, we are in a graveyard.
Oh, all the more reason. Are there any happy memories from a war, I wonder?
I doubt it.
Did you have relatives in the wars? I mean, the world wars. Or is that a political question? Yeah, it probably is.
No, let's see. Well, there would have been a great-uncle of mine from Cavan in the First World War. Mm. And don't forget, partition hadn't happened then.
Cavan.
Yeah, Cavan's in the south, the Republic.
I see. Was he killed?
Indeed he was, aye, but not in the war. He got beaten up in a brawl outside a pub.
In a brawl?
Aye, yeah. What? Oh, this is in the States, in Boston. He emigrated there after the war.
Do you know what the fight was about?
No idea. He just knew that he died from it, that's all I know. Way back in the 30s. And my Uncle Paddy, though, in Belfast, this would have been during the Second World War, and, of course, our crowd weren't exactly in favour of it, and the Free State was neutral, as I'm sure you know.
Free State? But you mean air?
The Republic, yeah. Well, my mother always called it the Free State. It was an old habit. Anyway, Uncle Paddy used to tell us...
Irish people have an Uncle Paddy?
Well, yeah, they do. It's compulsory. And an Auntie Mary. Will you listen?
Sorry.
Uncle Paddy's next-door neighbour was a particularly trenchant Republican, right? He hated the Brits, and he used to, when the German bombers were flying over Belfast, he used to light a bonfire in the backyard to guide the way.
Oh, my God.
Or stupid Brooklyn idiot could have us all killed, Paddy used to say. And ironically enough, sometime later, the same man was run over by an ambulance.
Serve him right.
Yeah. Toner, I think his name was. I can't remember.
Sorry, Hello? Yes, Dad. I've done that. It's all under control. Just relax, will you? No, I may be a bit late. I've got a couple of things to do on the way back. Oh, you poor old thing. Okay, Dad. Okay. Love you. Sorry.
That's
bit of a hypochondriac, my father. Still, he is 80. He does have to be careful with himself.
Is he? Fair play to him. And he's still the caretaker here?
Well, he's one of two. The other one's on holiday. But he insists on doing it. I won't be put out to pasture. But I think that's right, don't you, to keep on going? As long as you want to, of course, stay active.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is your father still...
Oh, yeah, he's very active, wearing down the seat of a bar still at home.
Oh, retired then.
He's been retired most of his life, actually.
How come?
Back sometime in the early 80s, he was let go from a local factory. The cutbacks, you know. Oh,
must have been hard.
It was harder on my mother. You know, I was out of it, but then... I mean, out of the house, I mean. I'd send her a few quid sometimes, but she'd never cash the checks. Pride, you know.
That was good of you.
Well, I was the eldest, and I suppose I felt guilty about leaving. Didn't have much choice, though. There were difficult times.
I was so lucky. Straight after college in Bristol, I got a job back in Gloucester, teaching.
Oh, you were a teacher?
Yes, but it wasn't to be. Oh, the nerves. Standing up in front of 30 expectant faces, looking at me to guide them. Oh, I get shivers even thinking about it.
Well, was it a tough school? I mean, you can have bad experiences anyway.
No, they were lovely. It was my old school, actually. I'd only been there myself as a pupil a few years earlier. I knew half the children there, or they knew me. It shouldn't have been so difficult, but I just wasn't cut out for it, I suppose. Good teachers are born, not made. Oh, I might have toughened up a bit and managed somehow. But I don't think that's enough for teaching, do you? It is what they say, a vocation.
It is indeed.
I like children, though, but the little ones, early readers. We have a story time club in the library on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm like a mother hen with my brood. Probably my biological clock.
Is it ticking?
I think I slept through the alarm years ago. What about you? Any paternal instincts? Men do have them.
No, I'm not sure I was ever cut out to be a father. Or a husband, come to that. I'm much too fond of my own company.
Oh, dear. Should I take that as a hint to leave you in peace?
Well, no, not at all. No, I didn't mean that. No, I'm enjoying this.
Oh, good.
No, I was just saying, I mean, I'm not a recluse. You know, I do socialise, but when I'm in my shed, you know, when I'm working alone, like just me in a lock of wood, no one to disturb the work, like the whole process, that's when I'm happiest. However odd that might sound.
No, it doesn't, actually.
You know, sometimes I think I give out an air of don't come near me, but I don't know.
Oh, yes. That's why I ran away immediately. I saw you.
Yeah, you're just being nice to a foreigner.
No, I'm not. Honestly.
You know, I have a sister in Donegal, way up in near Malin Head. And anyway, she has a kid called Padraig. There's another Paddy for you. And I used to call up to them and stay the weekend, do a few odd jobs and that for them. And I'd be staying in the boys' room. See, I'd made these bunk beds one time before because they were short of space and it's only a two-bedroomed wee cottage, tiny like. And Padraig always slept in the top bunk when I wasn't there, I mean. But whenever I was staying over, he let me go up on the top. He insisted. He was only about four at the time. And you don't say no to a four-year-old.
No, you don't.
Anyway, I'd sleep in the top and he'd be in the bottom bunk. And every morning about 6 o'clock or something, and that's after I'd been working very hard the day before, maybe drinking a lot, well, this wee skitter would climb up the ladder at 6 o'clock in the morning and slip in beside me, shake me awake and go, Kieran, tell a story, Kieran. Yeah, oh, and indeed, me dying with a splitting headache and God knows what fairly stinking a drink. But anyway, nothing would please him till we got some sort of story going, you know, making it up together as we went along. It's a load of nonsense, like kings and fairies and queens and whatever.
Oh, that's lovely.
And anyway, it became a bit of a ritual and I really looked forward to it, you know, however hungover I was. Those little feet on the ladder. And then the morning came when he didn't climb up. He didn't appear. I think he was 7 then, and I tell you, I was heartbroken. I mean, he was just growing up, and that was it. I know it's only a small thing. What I mean is, I was only his uncle, right? And I saw him once a month or so at best, but that's just how I felt, heartbroken over something trivial.
No, it's not trivial. It's called love.
Well, to just think what a parent goes through. And I don't know if I could handle that every day. From joy to gloom, funereal, then quick again to joy.
From joy to gloom. That's Gurney, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's Gurney, all right. It was on a tourist brochure in the room I was staying in.
Oh, the Irish are a very lyrical race.
You think so?
Oh, yes, you like your writers. I went on this tour once in Dublin, round Grafton Street. A literary pub crawl, I think they called it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's McDade's pub.
Oh, can't remember. Possibly. I was rather the worse for wear by the end of the night.
Yeah, pub crawls are like that.
Yeah, we were singing too.
God forbid.
Molly Malone, I think. And there was this tall young American man looking terribly studious. He was even taking notes.
What, during Molly Malone?
Oh, silly. Whenever the guides were talking. I mean, he was so serious. There were two German girls there, and even they were more relaxed.
Careful, stereotypes.
But eventually, my friend Jenny, who'd had rather a lot to drink, had been making eyes at this American all evening and whispering in my ear how gorgeous he was and what she liked to do to him. Well, finally, she walked up to him in the pub, whichever one it was, and planted a big kiss on his lips. She got a huge cheer for that.
And did he respond or take notes?
Oh, he responded all right. They spent the night together.
Must have been some kiss.
Jenny. Can be very persuasive.
And how about you?
I just remember waking up in my hotel room still half-dressed with the rain hammering at the window.
Ah, it was the summer then.
Yes. I got a large black coffee and sat recovering on a bench in Stephen's Green.
In the rain?
Oh, it had stopped by then.
Spend a lot of time sitting on park benches?
Notorious for it.
You didn't happen to notice another war poet memorial there in Stephen's Green?
No. What, you mean Francis Lidwich?
No, I mean Tom Kettle.
Tom Kettle?
Yeah, Tom Kettle.
I've never heard of him.
Well, he was an MP. He was a nationalist, like, but he donned the uniform like many others. Anyhow, he wrote this poem. Actually, it was a sonnet for his daughter. Mm-hmm. And I think she was just a baby at the time. But it was found on him when he was killed at the Somme or wherever, dated only a few days before. There's a statue or a bust of him near the centre of Stephen's Green, and it has the last few lines of the sonnet on it.
Which are?
Died not for flag, nor king, nor emperor, but for a dream born in a herdsman's shed and for the secret scripture of the poor.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, isn't it?
And he wrote it for his daughter?
Kind of trying to explain to her why he was out there, in case he didn't come back.
The sonnet. High price to pay, though, wasn't it? A man's life. I'm sure his daughter would rather have had her father back than any number of beautiful poems.
Well, some things are worth fighting for.
Are they? Worth killing for? Taking a life? Could you do it?
Well, I think we're all capable of doing it, given the right circumstances. If it's kill or be killed. I mean, it's a basic instinct.
It's an animal instinct. Don't you think we should be above that by now?
Yeah, well, what we should be and what we are... But
have you ever held a gun in your hand?
That's some question.
Well, it's, just coming from, where you grew up and all that was happening. I mean, temptation must have been there. Look, I'm not trying to cast... Oh, look, sorry. It's okay. You don't have to answer.
I could plead the fifth again, I suppose.
No, I really am sorry. We did agree to bury the past, didn't we? I do apologise.
The answer is yes.
What?
You're smelling sulphur now? You excited?
Not exactly, no. Concerned, afraid of what I might hear. Wishing I hadn't asked the question, to be honest.
Yeah, but dying to know, all the same. Well, I held a gun in my hand, yes, once.
Once?
Once. A guy I was at school with came thumping at the door one day, sweating and scared. And it was just me in the house, and I opened the door, and he thrust this thing into my hand. Hide it, he said, and he was away and over the back wall before I had time to say anything or even realise what it was, heavy, in my hand. And that's what I remember, the weight of it and the heat of it. Now, I couldn't draw you a picture of it if you asked me. I think it was black. I just picked up a cloth, a dishcloth of some sort, nearest thing to hand anyway. I wrapped it around it, and I shoved it in a big brown bag of spuds in the cupboard under the stairs. Potatoes, bag of potatoes. New, plenty of muck on them. And that was one long, sweaty day and night. Just waiting for the front door to be kicked in. For the house to be ransacked. The bag found, emptied. See the spuds bouncing all over the floor and then the metal clack of the gun as the dishcloth undoes itself. I mean, I must have had that dream 1,000 times. But nothing happened.
That gun?
Uh-huh.
Had it been used? Was somebody killed?
I don't know. I didn't ask. You didn't ask questions. Mm. Questions got you into trouble. Right, they got your family into trouble.
Yes, whatever you say, say nothing.
Yeah, big time. And the gun was collected by somebody else. And he stuck a quid in my pocket and said, good man, Kieran, get yourself some fish and chips.
Blood money.
Shut up, money.
How old were you then?
16.
God. And how did you feel about it, all that?
Exhilarated.
What?
Yeah, exhilarated. There was a buzz about it. It was the excitement of it all. I felt like I was taking part in The Great Escape or Colditz or something. The Wooden Horse. But I guess it was a mix of fear and excitement. You know, the heart pounding.
Yes, and what about the destruction, the deaths, bloodshed?
Yeah, I know, but you can't think of that. The basic instinct is to survive.
It's not our basic instinct to kill, though, is it?
Well, I don't know, but that's what soldiers do.
On our behalf.
Well, it's a dirty job. They mightn't like what they have to do, but the decision to pull the trigger is often made by somebody else. You know, some guy sitting behind a desk somewhere with a ballpoint pen and a clean sheet of paper.
And here, Ivor Gurney, a sweet, sensitive, creative, loving man. He, too, looked along the barrel of a gun, picked out his victim, fired, killed.
They say that in training he was his company's crack shot.
And my grandfather, up in the clouds. I wonder what he felt up there. Did he drop bombs on cities and women and children? Did he think about them?
Don't think you can. You need a degree of detachment. Otherwise, sure, he'd never got into the plane in the first place.
You said you got out. Earlier, you said you left your home, your family home. Was that for study or work or just to get away? You said something about feeling guilty at leaving.
Well, eldest son and all that.
Yes, but you said you didn't have much choice. Was it just economic necessity?
Partly.
Partly.
I was asked to leave. Very nicely. Even gave me my fare. How could I refuse?
Sorry, what? I don't understand. Who asked you?
Someone with much of his authority.
Do you mean the police?
A higher authority.
You mean the IRA, don't you? What was it?
Basically, I was told it would be in my best interest to get out of the way for a while.
What, because it was dangerous?
Because maybe I was dangerous.
You? Dangerous? In what way? To whom?
I saw something I wasn't supposed to see, okay?
You saw a murder? Oh. So you went, to... Sorry, I can't remember the name. Where Francis Ledwidge was from?
Slane? No. This is way, way before Slane. Slane wouldn't have done at all. It's only down the road. I went to America. I emigrated. Became an illegal alien.
Oh.
I worked in the sites, you know, building sites. I had good in my hands.
How long did you have to stay there?
A few years.
Did they threaten you or your family?
You know, I've always liked churches. Not because of religion. I mean, it's... quietness. I used to in New York or wherever. I mean, I travelled around a bit over there. I used to like to take five, you know, just chill out for a few minutes. Sometimes light a candle or something like that for my mother, keep her happy. But it wasn't that. I didn't pray or anything. I just felt comfortable, I suppose. Once a Catholic, maybe.
When I was a young girl, after school, I used to slip into the cathedral, listen to the choir rehearsing for evensong. I'd sit at the very, very back, as far from the choir as it's possible to be, and I'd gaze up at the high ceiling and marvel at it all, at the beauty of the sound. I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a boy soprano's voice. Nowadays, of course, children go there because of Harry Potter.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Oh. They use the cloisters for the films, the corridors of Hogwarts. Brings them into the cathedral, I suppose. Have you read the books?
No.
They were quite good. Been phenomenally successful. Well, anything to get children reading, I say. Oh, and you should take photographs of the cloisters to impress your nephew.
Oh, yeah, I might do that. Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you might get into St. Mary de Lode. You know, it's just next to the cathedral to see the gurney window.
No, I don't know anything about...
Oh, some researcher you are. Yes, they put in a window there a few years ago dedicated to him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's always had a close association with the forces. But I haven't seen it myself, actually. The window, I mean. But I've seen pictures of it. It's right next to the one for Captain... What's his name? Nyrack. Same side of the church, anyway. You should visit.
Nyrack?
Yes.
Robert Nyrack?
Yes, I think so. Yes, you've heard of him. He was killed in the Troubles, I know. Don't think his body was ever found, actually.
And he was from Gloucester?
I presume so. Standish, I think. There's been quite a bit about him in the papers at different times. Recently, too. But I'm afraid I always skip over anything to do with wars and conflicts. Too repressing. He was in the SAS, I think. Undercover work or something.
Or something.
Are you okay? You don't look very well. Are you all right?
No, fine. Just, I don't know. I really didn't know.
Know what?
I can't believe it. And, you know, I've had this feeling. I can't explain it exactly, but the whole week, for some reason, I didn't feel not safe exactly, but secure or something. So something inside me has been half expecting something. I don't know what. Could have been anything. Could have been you or something special, something memorable, something important. Whether that is a sixth sense thing or something subconscious that I knew all along, I don't know.
And what is it, do you think, this something?
A memory. A long time ago.
Go on.
A Saturday night. And I should have been studying for exams, but I wasn't. Well, I wasn't much of a student anyway, but I got a few bobs sometimes collecting glasses and sweeping up in the pub a couple of miles up the road. It's a fairly big place looking out over. Anyway, people would come from all around, but everybody would know each other, you know. It was Ireland, after all. The border was only a spitting distance away. And I used to do a few hours there on the weekend sometimes. Anyway, that Saturday night was busy enough. There was a band playing and plenty of smoke and old blether, and I knew a good few there, the locals. There were some hard men I only knew by reputation. And there was a lot of talk and excitement about the county's team's chances in Ulster in the All-Ireland final that year. The Gaelic football, you know, the Irish football, and we reached the final too. We beaten by the Dubs, but that was later in September. This was May the 14th. Sometime around 10 or so, maybe a wee bit earlier, this guy comes in. I hadn't seen him before. Cheery type, very friendly with everyone, considering no one seemed to know him. And then next time I notice him, he's sitting chatting with one of the local girls, telling jokes. And he had an odd accent, kind of exaggerated Belfast, and I heard her calling him Danny. Then later on, he even got up to sing with the band. And I was leaving some glasses behind the bar at the time, and I overheard a couple of guys speaking. It's effing him, I tell you. You sure? Yeah. Okay. Outside, whenever. And, like, they could have been talking about anyone, but I knew they were talking about him, this Danny. And these were serious men. These are men you didn't want to mess with. And I looked at the guy, Danny, finishing off the party piece, and I thought, you poor bastard, you're in some trouble, man. I saw him go into the Jacks, and then behind his back, the girl he'd been with exchanged a look with one of the guys standing at the bar. I think he made some kind of gesture or something, I don't know. But she gave a nod, and the two guys drained their pints and headed out the door to the car park. And I walked over to the table nearest the toilets and picked up an empty glass. Now, I was shaking. And I knew that when that man walked out of the pub that night, he was in for a hiding, maybe more. But right now, he was alone in the Jacks, and I was the closest person to him. And even though I knew nothing about him and didn't know what he'd done, right there and then, there was a fellow human being within a couple of yards of me who I could have warned. I could have said something to. I could have given him some sort of chance to run for it, maybe. And I wanted to. But instead, the glass slipped out of my hand and it smashed to the floor, and I was picking up the pieces when I heard a voice behind me. Bad luck. And I turned to see him going past with a grin on his face as he rejoined the girl. And that was the last. I cleared up the glass. I avoided looking for him so that I didn't see him leave. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything.
And that was Captain Nyrek.
Yeah.
He was taken away then and killed.
Yeah. From the car park, they drove him across the border, interrogated him. He didn't say anything, and he was shot and buried.
And no one knows where?
Well, there were rumours, but
oh, his poor family.
You know, I bumped into the girl from the pub a few days later, the one who'd been chatting to him, and I asked her what had happened to him, and she shrugged her shoulders and said they just wanted to ask him some questions. They let him go then. I don't know where he went.
Do you think she was telling the truth?
Maybe. For years there was a rumour that he was still gone. Gone AWOL. You know, a bit of a loose cannon anyway to the Brits. Always doing his own thing.
What did you believe?
I tried not to think about it. Not my business.
Do you ever see the film Kez?
What?
Kez. The film. About a young boy in Yorkshire with a love for this wild bird, a kestrel. It's from the late 60s, early 70s.
I'm not sure, I can't remember.
Well, I remember my dad taking me to see it. And I remember crying when the boy found the dead body, his pet kestrel. It was in the dustbin, his brother had killed it. And I cried for ages. Anyway, I read somewhere that one of the birds used in the film belonged to Robert Nirack. He was into falconry, apparently.
I saw it.
Oh, you saw the film?
Plenty of muck on it.
Muck? What do you mean?
I'd gone cycling over the border. There was a girl I knew lived in Ravensdale. Pretty place, lovely. Views over the bay. Anyway, I was heading home again and it started to rain, really pelting down, and I took shelter even though it was wringing wet already. Hardly would have made any difference, and I wasn't that far from home, but I was a bit heartsick because this girl, Aoife, well, she'd just dumped me, and I felt like stopping for a wee sulk and to look at the rain, to listen to it, the patter on the leaves. Then, a distance away, something caught my eye. I thought at first it was closer to me, like a fly or something. I tried to brush it away out of my eye. But then I looked at its flight, kind of swooping down, really quick, you know, agitated, yet, I don't know, balletic. And I did this a few times around the one spot.
A bird?
Something, some sort of wild bird, I don't know what type. Anyway, I got curious, you know, to see what it was at, what was attracting it. So I dumped the bike and I crossed over the field to where the bird was. And the rain was even heavier now. I don't know how the bird managed. Those drops must have been huge. The size of it. And as I got closer, the bird, the hawk, whatever it was, did a runner. And after all that, scared, I suppose. And I was standing there in this deluge, not knowing what I was looking for. Just a load of wet muck, disturbed earth. And then, right at my feet, I mean, one more step, and what I saw could have been anybody. Didn't even have to be human. But I knew. I knew it was him, or what was left of him.
What did you do?
I told someone.
Not the police?
No.
And what did they do?
Dug him up again, moved him, disposed of the evidence. The body of evidence. I wasn't informed.
And did you ever tell the police about this? You didn't, did you?
There was a confidential number, and a few days later, I left a message. I tried to disguise my voice. I didn't say much, but I said enough. And they found the spot, but not the body. Well, traces.
Oh, you did the right thing, then?
No, I did the wrong thing. Confidential number, no such thing. Not then, not there. So I had a visitor. Nice man. I mean, he didn't come heavy or anything. He just made it clear what my options were and what my family's options were.
They threatened you?
I was lucky. In the First World War, I'd been taken out and shot. Discipline, don't you know?
Oh, what an utterly depressing little country.
Ah, sure, never a dull moment.
Well, thank God all that's in the past. War's over, anyway, isn't it?
What war is ever over?
What do you mean?
It seems to me, however much we hate it, however much we see the suffering it causes, we seem drawn to it. I mean, I don't mean the Irish now. I mean all of us. The whole bloody planet. And we can't resist the temptation.
But we do. Millions of us do. And we survive, we carry on. I don't think it's as pessimistic as you say. There are bright tracks. There always will be. And you didn't take up a gun. You create. You take a block of wood and you use your skills to fashion something from it, something positive.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody ever put up a stained glass window to a man who made a chair.
Our minister would take issue with you there.
Would he now?
No, oh, speaking of which... Clive! Yes, follow you in. Last time I was going.
Right.
Oh, what am I saying? Of course, you're joining us. That is, if you'd like.
Lizzie, what I told you, I don't
Kieran,
want...
Kieran, it's okay. Don't worry.
I don't know why it all came out like that to you. Complete stranger. I'm surprised you didn't run into the church to escape screaming, sanctuary, sanctuary.
I can't say I wasn't tempted once or twice.
So why didn't you?
Well, obviously, because we're desperately in need of a congregation for the service.
Yeah.
We need every man we can get.
Fair enough. But we keep it between ourselves, yes?
What's said in a graveyard
stays in
the
graveyard.
On one condition.
What's that?
You'll join in the singing.
Oh, you might regret that.
I doubt it.
Well, they're streaming in, I see.
Whenever one or more are gathered. And afterwards, I'll take you in to see the cathedral, if you like, and St. Mary de Lode, to see the two windows. It's up to you.
Okay, sure, why not?
Good. Well, shall we join the throng?
Well, I don't know. Will we get a seat?
Oh, we'll manage.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Not sure that's on the menu, actually.
Oh, that's a pity.
It's fight the good fight instead.
Oh, well, that'll have to do.
So, you'll sing?
I'll sing.
Good.
That was Think Well, O Singer by Carl O'Neill with Kieran Hines and Brenda Blethyn. The organist was Andrew Sinnott. Sound supervision was by Anton Timoney, and the play was produced by Aidan Matthews.